Hey, we're good.
We're good?
I should be recording.
All right. Can you mute everybody's phones, please?
Sure.
Welcome, my friends. I give you my peace, and let's pray. Kind Father,
lost you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Kind Father, we say thank you for all the love that you've shown us. We were not able to meet last month, so we feel a big disconnect between the hearts of our teammates and families and with you. There is so much that we want to share this evening. We are thankful for your message already, and there are many cares and concerns that rest on the hearts of those that are connected with us now. So we pray for your grace to give the strength to bear it, and that you'll provide a little extra peace for us this evening that we can focus on the topics and the material that we have been provided by HS from your heart, and we thank you for all that you do. Provide your blessing on the evening. We thank you for all that you do as far as for our physical ailments and difficulties and strains. We pray for all our family members and their needs, but also, Father, we thank you for always watching over us and being with us. Cover us now with your grace. If there's something we've forgotten, I know you'll cover it, and according to what we ask, in your name we pray. We love you, Father. Thank you. Amen. All right, you can unmute everybody. All right. I met with Father, and this is what he had to say. My dear team, hello and welcome. Many of you have been struggling once again with many aspects of your life, be it spiritual, physical, or mental. Let me address the physical first. Are you eating correctly, exercising, and getting enough sleep? That is all I will say on this subject. And no, liquor does not ease the pain. And he chuckled. Mental. If your physical body is not well, yes, you will have a mental strain. Some of you sought out the help of doctors and are now on antidepressants. Are you meditating regularly as well? This will be a great benefit to you. And now for the spiritual part. Some may ask, how is it that Father is allowing all of these changes within the church? Do they not chip away at the foundations of our faith? Are not the brothers trying to bend the doctrine to fit this world? Again, this is all part of my plan. Those who are strong in their faith, and trust me, will not be affected when all of these changes come crashing down. And they will be the ones who are feeling in their heart that something is not right. And something is not right. The brothers are trying to attract new members by not being so inclusive, by taking on a broader stance on everything. This is not my will. I am allowing it for now. All of these ideas will fade away, and they will leave and take them with them. Then the foundation that was laid nearly 2,200 or 2,000 years ago will stand. I am asking all of you to be silent for now. In time, you will profess all of this. You are still in support. I'm sorry, you are still to support the brothers and not tear them down. Chief guardians do not tear down. They build up, they support, and they continue to protect even when the need is to protect them from themselves. I feel the need to express once again a promise I made to all of you years ago. I will not allow any physical harm to befall you or your families, and that is your impression of harm. You need to trust me and stop giving into fears. Be strong. You are powerful. Never forget that. The love you have for your family will never surpass the love I have for all of you. I am the Lord your God, the God of love. I just thought some of you needed a little gentle reminder. Now focus on your health, physical and mental, and your spirituality and faith, and your Father, brothers, and HS love you more than you will ever understand. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. I would like to make a fantastic announcement before we get started. I offered Blazar an invitation to come back on the team, and he has accepted. So Blazar and Sandy are on the call with us, and we are thankful that he is back with us.
Welcome back, brother of power. Woohoo is right. I've been lonely.
Thank you so much.
We love you.
I love you and I miss all of you.
We missed you too, Blazar.
Absolutely.
And I am sorry if I offended or sinned against anyone. Please forgive me.
Forgiven. Not even needed.
That's Amen. What I told him. Go ahead. We're glad you're back.
Now, thank you, brother.
You're welcome. The coronavirus. We don't need to talk about it anymore. Moving along. Religions. Trisis is going to present Spiritism. Trisis.
All righty. So, this is quite interesting. The handout that Fred has posted is like 2.5 pages. I'm not going to go over it. It's quite interesting. I'm going to go over it because there's a difference between Spiritism and Spiritualism. We'll talk about Spiritualism next month. Spiritism is something that we're all familiar with and actually might be accused of doing. It started in the late 1800s. There were three or four instances here and overseas where people could speak with the dead. We've all heard.
Hold on 1 second, Trisis.
Yep,
Fred, can you blow this up so we can actually see it? I have short eyeballs. Thank you.
Oh, good, you post it. So you can see that there's a somebody named Swedenborg, the Fox sisters, and then Mesmer that are credited for starting this movement. It's really not a religion. It's a philosophy, I would assume, is the easiest way to talk about it. The general term or the belief is that spirits or souls can communicate with the living. They don't differentiate between the two. Spiritism is the belief that there's reincarnation, where once you pass, you continue to learn through your body of being on Earth until you get to a point where you're good enough, quote unquote, and then you get to move on. The guy who created this particular term is actually Alan Kardec. That's his pseudonym or his writing name. He's actually a French gentleman. And basically, during the 1800s and 1900s, people were talking to the dead, mediums. We've all heard that. We've been accused of it. We've been told, well, you know, this is really not of God. What's interesting about this is I went down a rabbit hole that there was like 6 hours. It's astounding how much there is. And there's actually more modern books on this. And I'm going to read one of them that is more popular just to get a handle on what people think this is. Because I think, and the reason why I picked this is because I think we're going to be accused of doing this and following this practice. And we know we don't believe in reincarnation. We all know that our gifts from God are something that are being used for not helping the dead, which is what this Spiritism is. They believe that they can, through a medium, communicate with the dead and help them move on. There are several instances and modern books where even TV shows where we've seen that, where people talk about that. This gentleman, Alan Kardec, wrote the Spiritist Codification, where he came up with more than 1,000 questions and talked to different mediums at the time and came up with what he understood this movement to be. I tried to keep it organized, but there's so much information and data, but I basically came down to a few things and I highlighted them, where the central tenet of Spiritism is the belief that in spiritual life, from this perspective, the spirit is eternal and evolves through a series of incarnations in the material world. That's what Spiritism is. I highlighted a few of their doctrinal principles Spirits are immortal and live several lives. To perfect their mortal and intelligence until they'll be able to be in the presence of God. Morality is mostly based on love. Spiritual love is that, not carnal love, for everyone and anyone. And love must be put into practice. Everyone will eventually be saved, though it might take an unimaginably long time for some to be saved. I thought that was very funny. God is the supreme intelligent first clause of all things. Intelligent first clause, I looked up that term. Basically, God is everything. He has created everything. There is nothing else. It's all him. There's a couple of other things that are highlighted, but what's interesting about this is that looking into this particular belief or practice, it brought up references on Wikipedia and several other sites where people think of this negatively. And in fact, I don't know how many have you been accused of practicing witchcraft or magic, right? When we say we talk to the dead. Currently, this practice is in about 35 countries. Kardec really didn't create any rituals or dogma. The principles of this religion, and they actually call it a religion. What's interesting is other religions don't call it religion. But basically, it's a way of life or a way that you live. Even the modern books talk about how being good is better. They really don't follow any Christian dogmas. It's not considered a religion, and it's not considered a science. So it's falling into this weird trap. I did find it interesting that according to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, they consider Spiritism, quote unquote, magical practices, and the Church is pretty much against it. The last note on this is that Chico Xavier, if you can see, he was alive up until 2000. He wrote quite a few books and is very popular in Brazil, and that's where this practice is followed. More than anywhere else currently. But there's a gentleman on Amazon that has a blog, and I sent a cover of one of his books to Trisus because his book has something similar that is on the website where it looks like stones and water. I mean, so I'm going to do more on this and provide more information as it comes. But we communicate with the dead. So to speak, right? If you want to take that to the basic tenet, but we don't do it to help them, and that's what this practice is. That they believe that they can actually help the dead move forward. Now we believe by praying for the dead that those there of our brothers and sisters will help the dead, those that have passed on. So. You can read more about it. There's a link to the Wikipedia page if you want at the bottom of the handout. If you have any time or interested in this to learn what we don't do and what people might accuse us of doing, I suggest you take time. I'm going to be covering spiritualism next month. It's interesting because I always thought when I first looked at spiritism, I thought I was researching spiritualism. It took me about 20 minutes to realize I was on the wrong page, which is very funny. But they're similar. Spiritualism does not believe in reincarnation, but they are similar. So there was too much to cover on both of them, but that's all I'll cover next month on the spiritualism. But does anybody have any questions or anything that they'd like to ask me now about this?
Yeah, I have something to say, actually. Okay. My mother, she was a child. She's probably about 13 years old. And she was in Argentina, which is pretty close to Brazil.
Yeah.
And she met a friend. And so she did her first catechism, but she was always trying to find something more. She didn't feel like the Catholic Church fulfilled her, right? So she had a friend that invited her to this group. My mother practiced this for 3 years. And it opened up portals. And she dealt with a lot of eternity, so much to the point that she tried to commit suicide. Because it was so overwhelming for her. And one day we were talking about suicide, and she showed me her arms as a little girl where she cut her wrists.
Wow.
And so it is very interesting that, you know, you brought this topic up. Eternity is very sensitive with my mother. She sees eternity all the time. And she would tell me as a child, be careful, you know, because of what this can happen. And interesting enough about spiritualism, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sandy was accused of being a spiritualist.
Mm-hmm.
She was talking about eternity with some brothers and sisters, and she talked about a realm that she was in. And we got a phone call from the rector, and we were told to not convey anything about the realms of the departed. And I say realms. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a discussion, or I've talked to Sandy many times about that. We all know about our gifts. And when I was reading this, it was interesting. The Wikipedia is written by people, right? And there were quite a few non-references. And I don't know who added a lot of the points. So I want to do more research on this. But what I found interesting is and I kind of glossed over it, but I want to cover it real quick. We've all heard of Reiki. And Ikon, which is the Asian practices of healing, right? In fact, some people thought that that's what we do. We don't do that. But the animal magnetism or mesmerism is what this all comes from. And that all started around the same time. But you can see this German doctor, Frank Mesmer. And he believed that everything had energy. So it's interesting that they used practice of animal magnetism for spiritual healing. And again, it's something we don't do, but we do help with energy healing. So I want to find out more about what they think they're doing versus what we know we're doing. But Alan Kardec, the guy who wrote it, said Jesus was probably the greatest of all magnetizers, and that's what they called it. And his source of miracles was animal magnetism. So it's interesting that even though it's not a Christian-based religion, they still believe that there were practices done in the religion part of, you know, history, and that Jesus was an animal magnetizer, so to speak. I thought that was quite funny. Yeah, there's a lot to this, and I apologize for the disconnect in the fragmented sentences in this. I apologize. I'm not a good writer, but there was a lot of cutting and pasting and redoing sentences. So if you read it and it doesn't make sense, read it again. I'll cover more about spiritualism next week. So thank you, everybody. And like I said, I'll publish more or get more information as it comes.
Thank you. And Sandy, we want to welcome you back too. And you are more than happy, or more than welcome, I should say. And we are happy to hear your experiences because now you have your circle of freaky friends. And this is our life. John, I'm sorry, Trisus, you're going to talk about, you're quite welcome. The Bible passage, who's handling that, Trisus?
Yeah, I'm going to do it this week, this month again. So anybody that has a Bible verse for the next few months, just email me. Again, as a reminder, I had asked last year if we wanted to start doing something monthly where a particular Bible verse stuck out for you or something that helped you, and then maybe talk about it a little bit. If you didn't feel comfortable talking about it, just basically we could read it and then we could discuss it if needed. But this, we didn't use January, but I found this one very interesting because it's up on the screen there. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. It was very apropos considering what we were talking about, the coronavirus and all that. And I keep biting my tongue because we all know God has his hand in everything. And I will print this out and put it up above my desk, above my monitor, so I can read it. We can't forget that everything is him, everything. It has been difficult for all of us. Lately, missing the meeting was horrible, and obviously, you know, we missed not talking with each other, but we can't forget, and for me personally, that Father is always in charge, and as weak as we might think sometimes the word is, or what we're not getting, it's still stronger than anything that can come from man, anything that we can think of. I hold to the Bible verses that are read from the altar and that come out on the, at least in Florida, we get them a little bit, a couple days before, so we can read up on them before the service, but really hold to that. And we can't let our own understanding or interpretation cloud what Father's work is. So that's why this verse is so special to me. But please reach out to me in an email for the next couple months, and then we can have Fred create a slide, or if you want to create a slide, then we can post it and discuss it too. So thank you.
Thank you. Blazar and Sandy, we introduced two new parts to our team meeting. One is called a deeper understanding, where I try to find a topic and then we expound on it a little bit deeper. And then the other portion is called not worthless, but interesting tidbits. So a deeper understanding, I chose actually a Bible verse, which I haven't done in the past, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which ironically enough goes hand in hand with what Father reminded us, a gentle reminder he said this evening. And again, HS is always moving our hearts to pick things. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We sometimes, I feel, get so worked up in our daily lives, and we let the spirit of this world frustrate us to the point that we don't understand that Father is the one who is testing us on so many levels. And yes, I am hearing myself say this because my past week was anything but pleasant. The fact of the matter is that Father will try and pull out of us the gifts that he's laid into us to give us the understanding not only of him and the power he's given us, but to understand our strengths, not our weaknesses. We are completely aware of what our weaknesses are, and we're not supposed to give in to them, which also leads me into another point I was going to make. At no time are we expected to be perfect. We can't be. It's not possible. And even today, the bishop served. We listened to the service with, I think somewhere in New York, the apostle Fent was holding it, and the bishop served along, and he said, if you can understand that you cannot overcome anything, but you can overcome everything if you let Father help you.
Can you say that again?
We can't overcome anything by ourselves. But if we let Father help us, we can overcome everything. We have to give ourselves to Father and to understand our limitations, but we also need to understand that we have to do the work too. And if we ask him where this says, supplication and prayer, let your requests be known to Father, and then he'll give you peace and you'll get the answer you're looking for. we need to stop dwelling so much in the earth. That's this whole coronavirus is so Satan, stirring the pot and making a mess and causing confusion and fear. And even my wife made a statement. She goes, what I don't understand about everybody is if God decides that your time is up, he can do it with a virus or he can do it any other way. And so, yes, we're supposed to use common sense, but it shouldn't overtake us to the point where we fear doing things. The other important part that I had here is not worthless, but interesting tidbit is also a Bible passage. I was thinking about different things and I listened to the scripture on tape when I'm driving to work. Scripture on tape. I listened to an app. I got to jump into the 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2000s. Anywho, I thought about the portion where this comes from is John 10:39 is the part I'm going to read to you, but I'm going to paraphrase a little bit. It's John 10:31 through 39. And this is the part where Jesus tells the Jews that he is the Son of God. And they pretty much get upset at him and say, well, you're just a big blasphemer. And he said, well, now you're gonna stone me for all the good works I've done when I haven't done any bad works. And they said, no, we're not going to stone you for the good works you've done. We're going to stone you because you're a blasphemer. And near the end of the chapter, this is the part I wanted to read to you. Therefore, they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. You and I have been sent by Father, just as Jesus was. You and I have a responsibility. Do you honestly think that Father would allow anything to happen to us when we're doing his will? It goes hand in hand with Father's promise to us. I wanted to throw that out there again, because I'll be honest, sometimes I get worked up in the whole thing and I think about what's the future going to hold for us? Is the world going to come against us? Are we going to have to, you know, live on a compound with armed guards and blah, blah, blah? No, we're not. Because the Lord God, our Father, with a thought, can stop anybody from doing anything against us. I have that assurity in my heart. So I want to make sure that you guys get that in your heart too and just trust him. We are not doing anything that's crazy because Father is the one who sent us. The whole Bible's full of crazy though, right? All those people that did the things he asked them, they're all nutballs, and so are we. But we're serving Father's will, and we will succeed because he already told us in some previous meetings, he's already seen us in the kingdom, and he can't wait to give us a hug and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Okay? I got a message from Blazar about the midweek experience, and then Q, out of the blue, contacted me about the exact same thing. And so I asked Q if he would bring it up. And then I will chime in occasionally, but Q, if you would please speak about this.
And I'm sorry, Fred, I just sent you an email with the script. If you could bring that up, that would be wonderful. And then go to the third session and I'll wait a second. I can bring mine up, but I'd rather have you just bring that up so everybody can read it. So the bottom line is this. Pardon me?
We have time.
Okay. So I am responsible for the small groups in Holland, but we haven't done this portion yet because it's not the third yet, and that's the third session. The shepherd, Marinus Dunsey, faithful servant, retired, does the same thing in Wyoming where he's responsible for it, and he brought it up to me and told me that he wanted to make sure that everybody in the congregation got a copy of it because it's really nice and it's new information about eternity and how we should view it. When he stated that to me, it didn't feel good. And he has faith in all. And the thing is, the way that he interpreted it is different than the way that we understand it. And it's important that we really see the difference.
Can you expound on that for everybody?
Yes. And in fact, I'm going to go to my copy so that I can read this. And it's about the creed, the beyond. And I have the script in front of me. So the 5th paragraph reads this way. We often describe the dead as being in the realm of the departed. In the past, we were inclined to pigeonhole people to specific realms, depending on what they did in life. Those who murdered went to the realm of the murderers. Those who lied went to the realm of the liars. Given the complexity of human beings, however, it is not logical to designate them to one specific group. Today, we understand the word realm to be a description of a person's nearness to or remoteness from God. Okay? So if we just take that for what it says, then it really doesn't go against our understanding, because it's stating that given the complexity of human beings, however, it is not logical to designate them to one specific group. True. However, we've been there. We know, we've seen, there are groups of people gathered together. They're complex for sure. We all are. They have to overcome what they didn't overcome on earth, and it is complex. But they also have something in common. And we don't know exactly how it all goes there until we get there, how they move on and what exactly takes place. But to completely dismiss that there are realms and specific groups and places where souls are would be really sad for us to just let go, because we know that that is the case. Any comments?
Well, I was just wondering.
I would agree.
Sorry, I was just wondering where is this coming from?
It's actually in the catechism. If you look in the catechism, it actually you can see where it's actually edited. It states realms, and then it's highlighted. They spell the word realm, and they leave the S off, and then it goes to realm, 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 realm. This is an edit.
And then also, just so that you know, so the United States and the district where the district apostle Cole is, we have implemented the small group discussions and all of that, and that's not open to everybody in the world. And this small group discussion is just from our district. Now, he has a group of people who write these, and the apostles are involved as well. So another way to answer that question is that it was written by them and prayed over, however they came up with this. But it kind of goes along with Father's letter tonight, where it said that things are kind of being glossed over. I can't remember the wording exactly, but just that they're
chipping away at the foundation.
Chipping away at the foundation.
Just chipping away, yeah.
Oh,
and
I
so
see.
When we look at this, I pray for the Jane Does, because I went to their realm.
Yeah.
And I know they're there. And so I'm going to continue to pray for them, and I see them when I pray. I know what it looks like there. And when I went with my brother Bob into the realm of the Indians, and it's huge.
Yeah.
And it is a variation. It's, you know, it does talk about this, that the remoteness or nearness, the nearer they are, the brighter it is. And the further we go, and we just keep going and going and going, it gets darker and darker and darker. And we have descended for a period of time. And I said, how far are we going? He said, right here. And there was some further to go, because this is for as far as we can go. But the point is, they still are grouped together. And so, you know, and the nice part about that is it's a little bit easier for us then to pray for them as a group of people. Because if we just thought, well, realm means nearness or remoteness from God, then everybody's in the same place and it's just this big, long mass. I don't know how to pray for that.
Yeah.
Interesting, Dan, about it is in the catechism explanation, they bring forth the example of Lazarus and the poor
was the rich man.
Poor guy, the rich man and Lazarus, right?
Yep.
So you have, and it says there's a gulf, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there, Lazarus was in the bosom of the Lord, and the rich man was pleading so that he could tell his family that there is a different place where he is. But they call it a realm, like it's all the same. And I'm like, you guys are, you're playing semantics here. You're telling me there's one realm, but you're giving me the example of Lazarus and the rich man. And then we have the example of the malefactor on the cross where Jesus says, you will be with me in paradise. As far as I know, he's the only guy that's in there. You know? And yeah. So obviously there is differences. I've been there. I've been in different realms.
Right.
You know? Al Capone took me to a realm where it was one of the worst realms I've ever seen in my life, but he took me there because he wanted to see, he wanted to show me that he was trying to convince his cohorts, the ones that he convinced them to join up with the mob, and it was a prison, and he's like, I'm really trying to tell these guys to follow me again. You know, I don't make this up. I don't have that. I'm stupid. No, I'm just a simple man. I don't have this kind of imagination. If I did, I'd be rich. I'd be writing movies.
Right.
I would.
You know, what's interesting about what we're talking about, and I mentioned this to Tryland when I spoke with him, that whoever is writing these things and however they're talking about it, it's like man is absolutely getting involved and not allowing the Holy Spirit to move them and to say, oh, right. Wow, I never thought about this. They're making it so that it's more palatable. Well,
it's the church theologian.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, but when you think of it this way, and we are connected with our Heavenly Father because we're guardians, first of all. We're, and it's, I hate to say it this way, but it's like we're forced to because we have to, but that's okay. It's a blessing. As a minister, I don't mean it this way, but it's kind of just when you look at it, I have to read the Bible because that's the way I prepare for service, but it's a blessing to do that. So now when you think about our connection with Father and that we seek him all the time and then we listen, and the Holy Spirit speaks through us, to us, through others with us. And then we go a week or a week and a half where a lot of conversations happen. And then everyone who's involved with those conversations has different experiences where the same things came up in the conversation with someone totally different. Well, we can't make that up either. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to us, through us, and to others, and from others to us. It's beautiful. But now when we look at something like this, is it that someone sits down and then just decides, okay, so what does this look like? And they have a discussion, but it's men having that. I don't know, but when I read it this way, I can't believe that the Holy Spirit gave them this.
Right.
Have you all heard of the word pablum? I just looked it up because that's what I'm thinking. Trite, insipid, or simplistic writing, speech, or conceptualization. Second one is a form of cereal for infants. The third one is a diet that does not require chewing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's what this is. And I've had this on my heart for years, and it's interesting that I happened to just look this. I mean, I looked it up while you were talking. But that's exactly what this is, isn't it, Trilon? I mean, isn't it?
Yes.
I mean,
it is. They're trying to make it so everybody can understand on some level. But the problem is that all it's going to do is cause confusion. And that's why we wanted to bring it up. And then ultimately, I'll ask this question. Does it really matter if there's one realm or a million realms? How does that affect the way that we pray for somebody there? it doesn't. Now we're getting into semantics. It really isn't part of Father's plan. Father doesn't cause confusion. The Holy Spirit does not cause confusion. He doesn't make you second guess things. And to Father's point that he made in his message, to those who have a strong foundation and trust him and understand their foundation, they're going to feel that something's not right, because it isn't. But he's going to allow it to happen. Go ahead.
Isn't it interesting? Isn't it interesting that this was given in a small group and not a service?
Right.
Wow.
And it's only given to the United States.
Correct. Right. The Holy Spirit is not involved in this.
No. Sandy, did you want to say something?
Go ahead.
Sandy?
Sorry.
Were you going to say something? Please do.
Well, I have sort of been through the gamut in a while, and I've been disconnected from all of you for a while, so I apologize. Okay. I kind of wanted to take a break because it broke my heart when you see things and you share those things and then people say you're something that you're not, right? Mm-hmm. It was awful. But I never once questioned what I got. It was how it was received. And I just, for me personally, I prayed really hard and I said, Lord, give me a break. Because I don't like what people are thinking of me. And I'm going to be perfectly honest with all of you. You know, when Jerry said he was coming back on the team, it scared me a little bit. Because I know what that means for us. Because I know what our gifts are. And I knew that that meant that they came back.
Yes.
And before this call, I didn't even know there was a call today, by the way. And last night I had a dream about my grandma. And I haven't had a dream about my grandma in 2 years. And it was, I didn't even remember it right away until later on this morning. And it was, she came to me and all of a sudden it was like she was right in front of my face and she said, "We need you.
Tell them about what they told you not to say."
Not to say.
What the ministers told you not to say.
Yeah, not to say.
Gave them an example about turning.
Yeah. There's been a lot of things, and I've learned what it's like to sort of be on the outside, I guess. And I was asked not to give an example, not to talk about eternity, not to say anything, and that there are people here who say I'm a medium, and I'm not. As I told our ministers here, and as I told even those who asked me, I'm like, I can't summon anybody. If I could, I would summon my son to get good grades. I can't summon anybody. And I can't summon anyone in eternity. They just show up and they say those, whatever is on their heart, and I listen, and I can't make that up.
So, Sandy, I'm sorry to interrupt, but doesn't Uncle Ernie Zalot, he's open to this. I know he's retired, but what happened?
No, Uncle Ernie's with us.
He absolutely is, and he's very, very sweet. He understands him and Aunt Jackie. They're different. There's others who are not.
Wow.
And
Uncle Ern was one of the few that helped.
Absolutely.
And Jerry tells me often, he's like, oh, Sandy, maybe shouldn't say so much.
Well, and I think that's the case with all
John
of us.
John and Jim are sitting here on the phone. They know that's really difficult for me.
Yes.
That's a bummer.
Do you know what, Sandy? It does actually remind me a lot of what Tom and I went through and are still going through, because the church, the head theologian, did not believe that any new apostolic could have a demonic possession. That everything, it goes back to illnesses. In the Bible, it was not that they were possessed by demons, but actually that they had physical ailments that they were not able to diagnose. So I think I can feel where you're coming from, and I know that at times it is very hurtful, but just know that we are here to support you, and that, and because we've all been through this in one way or another, the way that we've been through it is probably quite different than what you and Blazer are going through. But that all the more gives us all that much more strength and empathy and compassion. So I hope that you would never feel that we are judging you in that way. And that it's non-threatening. Mm-hmm. I don't know where I would have been if I wouldn't have had all of you at the time when Tom was slithering on the floor like a snake and screaming and being tortured, and people saw it, ministers saw it, but they would back away or just ignore it. Or so I just am so thankful that you and Blazer are back here, and know that we don't look at you as someone that's crazy or trying to do things that you're not supposed to, not in a moment. And if anything, we understand. And,
we all drink from the crazy
thank
cup.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know. I spent way too much time at your house when I was young. I drank from the crazy cup.
You did, yeah.
And now I'm screwed.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, in a godly way. Mm-hmm.
Well, and the bottom line is, none of us chose this at all.
Nope.
Right?
That's correct.
Well, and what's really funny is, you know, I say gift lightly because it's sort of a gift and not, but my gift happened younger, and Triland and Blazar and not really good at everybody's name. I say Jim and John.
That's fine.
They know because they've been here with me, and they know that I have prayed and begged for this to go away times, and it's my gift. And sometimes I don't necessarily think it is, but it is actually. And
can I give the head theologian a knuckle sandwich?
Nah, Father will take care of him. Starlight wanted to contribute. Hold on one second, Starlight.
Thanks.
She keeps throwing things at me. I keep pointing at her going, get on the call.
This kind of goes hand in hand. I was having a rough time trying to figure out I don't even know the right way to say it, is that, you know, people look at you funny, or, you know, you know that we're all a little different. We all have gifts in our own ways. And I was really struggling with the fact of, like, I feel like sometimes I'm living in a dream. Is this even real? Am I crazy? Are we all crazy? You know, and honestly, I came down to the point in with myself that this is what it is. This is what my life is. And I'm blessed and I'm thankful for it. And whatever gifts that Father wants to give me, then that's what it'll be. And deep down inside, it doesn't matter what other people think. When at the end of everything, people can sit there and look at me, they can say things about me, I don't care. Because at the end of the day, I only have to answer to one person, and that's our Heavenly Father. That's God Himself. And who am I to say that what He's doing isn't right? You know, no one has the right to judge, but people do. But at the end of the day, just like with the realms of somebody saying it's only one realm or two realms, at the end of the day, it honestly, it doesn't matter, because this is all part of God's plan, and I'm here to do His work. And we need, you know, it just, for me, it settled a lot of things inside of myself. And so what if I am crazy? Okay, I'm crazy and I'm living a blessed life. Fine, so be it. You know,
I well, mean, and you are really so
testify.
Right. When you know, talking about if it's one realm or two realms or many realms, honestly, I don't care.
Right, we're just praying. Exactly. We need to pray. That's it.
Just pray for him.
Right?
Just pray, like, for him.
I don't care what realm you're in. I just want to help you.
Right. And with our gifts and with our team and whatnot, if people want to sit and talk and what, it honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, because Father is going to make things happen. It doesn't matter if you sit there and talk bad about me. I don't care. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm following through with Father's plan, period.
Choir.
and it's just made my it's made my mental state so much better without having to question anything, because I wake up every day knowing what I'm supposed to be doing, and for the most part anyway, but I mean it alleviates any question in my mind. And mm-hmm. am I doing the right thing or am I not? You know what? I only have to answer to God Himself. That's it. And as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm doing the right thing, and I'm doing it with passion and my whole heart, that's all that matters. I'm not answering to anyone else, period.
You know, mm-hmm. what goes wrong along with that? The fear.
Mm-hmm.
Because fear can come in a lot of different ways.
Yep.
And the thing is, we have nothing to fear. We don't have to fear the ministers. Mm-hmm. We don't have to fear repercussions. We don't mm-hmm. have to fear any of that. Now, we have to be careful, of course, because
sure, be
we have to keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. But fear paralyzes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we can't be paralyzed. And it's interesting. And if I could, I'd like to share an experience that I had with my brother, Don. Don Blackport had a heart attack not too long ago. They lost him six times. They had to revive him six times. And wow. Everyone there, the doctors said they'd never, ever seen that before. They don't know how he's still alive. It's a miracle. And God did it. And they know that. Okay. Well, Don,
they asked to pray with him, right?
Yes, exactly. And it was beautiful. So anyway, recently I got a text from Diane, and she said, have you talked to Don? He's having a hard time. Can you reach out to him? So of course I'm going to do that, because that's who we are. Whether I'm a minister or a brother or a guardian, or if someone is in help, I'm going to reach out. And it doesn't matter what state I'm in, because Father will make up the difference. So I called him, and he's been having panic attacks, and he's afraid he's going to have a heart attack, another heart attack, and he's going to die. And I let him talk for a while, and I said, okay, so that fear is just disabling you. He said, yeah, it's terrible. I start thinking about it, and I have a panic attack, and my chest hurts. And so I said, you know what the pain and the pressure in the chest means, don't you? Yeah, but I have a heart attack. Okay, so is fear good or bad? Is it negative or positive? It's negative. Okay, does Father give us negative stuff? No, where's it come from? You know where it comes from. It's always evil. So now, and then I said, why are you afraid to die? He said, well, what do you mean? I don't want to leave my family. Of course you don't. But why are you afraid? Well, because I don't want to die. Okay, do you trust our Heavenly Father? Does he have everything? Does he take care of us? He saved you already. Do you think he's going to let you die? Well, I guess not. But what if he did? Would it be right if he let it happen? Yeah, it would. Then why do you have to fear? And then we basically said, okay, you know, you've heard the saying before. Get behind me, Satan. Leave. So you tell him, my Father's right here. You don't belong here. And make the evil leave. Make the fear leave. And he felt better. He even kept talking. I thought, you sound different. Because it's gone. Because the bottom line is, we can clear space until the cows come home. But if someone continues to say, well, but I'm afraid, they invite it right back. Well, he didn't. And so we talked through that. And then we also talked about becoming the bride, working on it right now. And what was so amazing is that he got off the phone and he writes music. He's a musician who doesn't read music, but he just writes it and it's beautiful. Sat down, wrote a beautiful song, and played it loud so that it shook the earth. And he lives on a lake, and it was awesome. In our conversation, it also came out that the word will not return to the Father void. And that was our text word today. And yeah. I hadn't read the word prior to that when I spoke with him. And I sent him a text that said, so if there's any doubt that HS was involved in our conversation, this is what the Bible verse is for this coming Sunday. And then he responds back. And he told me about that song. And then he said, read verse 12. And the 12th verse basically says, and the earth shook to a degree. And so, perfect example how HS gets involved and shows us, and our Heavenly Father shows us, that when we're doing what he wants us to do, he gives us joy, then proves to us he did it. So when you think about that fear, fear has nothing on us. I was talking with someone recently and I said, really? We don't have to fear. Remember where it was said, we need to tell evil how big our God is instead of God, how big this problem is, this evil that we have. We don't have to fear anything, anyone, ever.
Nope.
You know, my mom, I had talked to her on Friday and Saturday, and I said, Mom, I'm not sure you should go to church. I want to keep her safe, right? And this morning I talked to her, and she said, Sandy, I'm going to church. You can't stop me. And I said, well, I didn't say I was going to stop you. I just said, be careful. And she goes, no, I'm going to go and I'm going to get Holy Communion. And she said, I was thinking about it last night and I thought, you know what, Father, if this is what ends me, then it's what ends me, but I'm not leaving without you. And the way she said that, I'm not leaving without you.
That's faith. Beautiful.
Right? Her biggest concern today was to go to church because they might cancel church in the next couple weeks, and justifiably so. But she goes, Sandy, this might be the last time I get communion for a couple weeks.
Yeah,
true. All right, it's 7:30. I have two more things I want to share. Your counseling angel, I removed them from you, and you will now use HS, the big guy. So he will motivate your gut feeling. If you have any questions or doubts, call on him. The reason why we're doing this is to simplify things. You do not need a multitude of angels around you anymore. All you need is your one archangel, and you will give all your commands to him, and they will bring in reinforcements if you need them. So all of your other angels have been reassigned. You just need to deal with the one. Okay? Any questions on that?
I'll make it easier.
Can you help me with that?
What's that?
Can you help me with that?
Yes. I will reassign your archangel to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Starlight would like to share something for a brief moment.
A couple weeks ago, I was on my way to work, and all of a sudden I just heard this. It was a woman's voice and just saying, "Hi, Starlight." And I'm like, "Hello." And she introduced herself as my new healing master. And
can you mute your thing? We can hear you.
Mute yours. That's echoing. Thank you. So so I talked to her and I was vetting her, and then I looked and I couldn't see my other healing, my original healing master. And I just, her voice was so sweet. And her name is Rose, and but something just didn't seem quite right, but it made sense because my healing master, to be honest, I hadn't seen him for a few weeks. But then at the same time, I had this strange doubt. So I contacted Tryland and I said, "Can you just check her out? I feel like something's not quite right." And so he came in into my space and checked her out, and sure enough, she was evil, and I was getting ready to send her off, but yes, she was evil, and she just was so sweet and just so kind and saying all the right things and whatnot, and I just be on guard, things are happening and not all the time, but it was just so strange. It was a really, it just made me really think to be, more aware of what's going on around me and part of my team, and to vet. And then, to be honest with you, I hadn't really vetted my team much, and that just made me reopen my eyes. And Father's supposed to assign a new healing master for me, and so that's it.
Thank you. Blazar, you're going to be with Jophiel, the Archangel of Light. I emailed you his information.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I spoke with Robin Williams last week. He showed up and he was baptized at the last service for the departed. And he told me that he will be sealed in July at the next service for the departed.
Fantastic.
Yes. They still need prayers. Let's not forget to do our daily prayers for eternity. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to ask or share or talk about?
It was a joy to be with you and Starlight.
And great crisis, to have you back.
And brilliance. I mean, not brilliance, tranquility. And Tom.
It was great to see you. Thank you for coming at distance.
I appreciate it.
It was old homecoming week. It's very nice.
I have some news to
Thanks
share.
Thanks for having my son.
Oh, sorry.
You're welcome. He bear hugged me, Sandy, so hard I couldn't breathe. You got to stop feeding that kid.
Oh.
Do it now.
Do it now.
You wanted to share something?
I told him he had to do that. I said, when you see Jim, you have to go up and hug him really tight and tell him, do it now.
I literally went, dude, you got to let go of me. I can't breathe. It was great to see him. do you want to share something?
Yes. The young lady who cuts my hair has been going to the Wyoming congregation for over a year now. She was baptized a couple of weeks ago, and today she was sealed.
Yes. Oh.
She was adopted last week.
Well, she was adopted. She wasn't baptized because she was adopted. You know what I mean?
Semantic.
Yeah.
But what is absolutely amazing is that her faith is so developed. She talks just like we do. She understands just like we do. She wants to meditate more because she wants to see more. But what she does every single day in her shop, when someone comes, she has appointments, and she's talking to Father all day long, said, please, when they come through the door, clear their space and help them to feel comfortable and at peace and help me to do what you want me to do with them. And they make comments about how peaceful it is, how calm they are, how comfortable it is, and all of that. And she sent me a text last week, and she said that someone came in, and she actually just kind of explained, yeah, she got into the conversation, said, I cleared your space. And he said, cleared my space? What are you talking about? And she thought, and HS gave her this. Okay, it's kind of like you're walking through the front door, and it's like a car wash, and everything that's bad is, everything evil is washed off of you. And she even said, there's a big angel there because she knows that we've set up a perimeter around her whole place. There's a pinnacle angel right at her front door that he just cleans you. And you come in and you should feel peace and all of that. But she has conversations every single day like the bride is supposed to. And it's so beautiful. And when I told her about becoming sealed, she was all excited because she didn't really think about it that much. She has a better relationship with Father than many of our brothers and sisters in faith. And so, good news I wanted to share. And Noop and Lauren, how'd the service go today?
It was good for the most part. So, sorry, that sounded bad. That I didn't mean it that way at all. So for those of you who don't know, we had Apostle Orlovsky serve today for the sealing service. And there were many times where he stepped away from HS. And he was making some jokes and funny comments that didn't quite fit. But then he would come back and get back in tune with HS for a portion of the service. Those portions were great.
So. Good.
And he actually talked to me after service.
Well.
He seemed like he felt awkward trying to talk to me, but didn't know why he felt awkward.
Yeah, you'll get used to that.
Yeah, he called me old and fat, so.
Well,
okay.
And I'm like, I don't know why I got in the line, but I did.
All right.
Who does that?
Thank you, everyone, for attending. And I asked Trisus to close in prayer. We, Sandy and Blaze, I start the meeting in prayer, and then I ask someone else to close in prayer. So Trisus is going to do it this month. So Trisus, please.
All righty. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this great meeting. We missed everybody so much. 60 days is just way too long, Father. We thank you for the friends that we had attending the funeral and everybody coming in. We can't go away without the prayers, and we know that you are covering us, and we appreciate the camaraderie and the hugs and the spiritual blessings that were wished upon us and our family. We thank you, Father, for letting us have our friends and our family and these guardians, Father, that are closer than our family in some cases, Father, because we share more. We thank you, Father, for them. Bless them for their efforts. We pray, Father, as a team, and we pray for the individuals and the natural, of course, with all the things that each one has to go through with the family and the schooling and the work and the businesses. And we could pray on and on and on for hours, Father. But we thank you in advance for that. But we also pray more importantly for the spiritual side, that we can all get into the role that we need to be in, Father. We know we don't have to be perfect, but we ask for your guidance. And we ask for the reminders on how to do things and what to do, even with the printed sheets and the emails and everything that we know, Father. Our human brain sometimes just goes out on a tangent, and we realize maybe it's been days or weeks where we've even come and seen you. We pray, Father, that we can come back into that I'm not going to say routine because it sounds horrible, but we all know what we mean. That we can bring you back in, Father, and we can be ready. We pray, Father, that we can feel each other's hearts again, and that we can be ready for what you have coming in store. We pray, Father, that we can be the guardian you need us to be, and that we can learn what we have to learn, Father, and it'll be easy. It'll be like falling off a log. I heard an expression once, that it won't be so traumatic. And we pray, Father, for the leaders and those that create the lessons, that the Holy Spirit can be influential, and that our hearts can be open to the discussions, and that we can't allow our personal feelings get in the way. We pray, Father, for the strength to be able to be examples and not be a detriment to your work, and that those that see us, they can see us as an example and not a detriment. Most importantly, that Satan and the spirits that work around each one, that they will be diminished, and that the Holy Spirit will shine in each one so that your work can continue. We pray, Father, that we can have your strength in our daily tasks as well as in the future. We love you. We ask this all in the Son's name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, everyone. Amen. Love you. Have a beautiful week.
Love you guys.
Bye.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.